Radio Prague News.
The Social Democrats are considering fielding a candidate for the presidency. The Christian Democrats' Pavel Bielobrádek says the Secret Service should examine leaked recordings featuring the voice of ANO leader Andrei Babiš. And a court in Greece has given suspended sentences to two Czechs found guilty of espionage. The Social Democrats are considering fielding a candidate for the Czech presidency, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said on Tuesday. The party's leader said the Social Democrats didn't at present see any left-wing candidate who could stand up to what he called the power tandem between President Miloš Zeman and ANO chief Andrej Babiš. Mr. Sobotka ruled out running himself. Mr. Zeman is a former leader of the Social Democrats, but Mr. Sobotka said he had lost a lot of support in the party over his handling of the current government crisis. The president has refused to follow the PM's call to dismiss Mr. Babiš as finance minister. Deputy Prime Minister and Christian Democrats chairman Pavel Bielobrádek has proposed that the BIS Secret Service examine leaked recordings featuring the voice of ANO leader Andrej Babiš. Mr. Bielobrádek suggested on Tuesday that the recordings, which have been posted online, could represent a threat to the essence of the Czech constitutional system. They appear to show Mr. Babiš giving orders to a journalist and being handed materials by the same reporter from an ongoing police investigation. The ANO boss says that they are fake and are part of a campaign against him. The Czech police have too few experts in computing to combat cybercrime. That's according to the Supreme State Attorney, Lenka Bradáčová. Speaking at the Senate on Tuesday, she said the state needed to find such specialists and pay them accordingly. Ms. Bradáčová said crime was moving online and that property crime conducted across borders and by anonymous perpetrators wasn't the only issue. Privacy is also under threat, while sexual crimes, including against children, are increasing, she said. A court in Greece has given 2.5-year sentences suspended for 3 years to two Czechs found guilty of espionage, Czech TV reported. Martin Pezlar and Ivan Buchta appealed immediately. The pair, who are software engineers, were accused of filming by military installations near Greece's border with Turkey in 2012 for the purposes of producing a video game. They say they were on holiday and merely took photographs and made videos as regular tourists. The Czech economy saw accelerated growth in the first quarter of this year, with GDP reaching 2.9% year on year. The information was released by the Czech Statistics Office on Tuesday. Analysts had expected slower growth, the Czech news agency said. The rise has been attributed to stronger international demand, supported by increasing household consumption. The weather now, it should be sunny in the Czech Republic on Wednesday with temperatures of up to 21 degrees Celsius expected. Daytime highs of as much as 24 degrees Celsius are forecast for Thursday. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, stepped up security at Prague Airport. Cooks, that's the place, not the people, gets a top European award. And we look at mental health as a Cinderella sector. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Prague's Václav Havel Airport on Monday launched new random controls of baggage checked in for the presence of trace elements of explosives. The move, in compliance with EU legislation, is to increase security to limit the possibility of explosive substances ever making it into planes' cargo holds as part of a terrorist attack. Jan Wellinger reports.
Prague's International Václav Havel Airport has stepped up security to try to make it more difficult for explosives to be loaded into a plane's cargo space. In 2015, for example, terrorists claimed to be behind the disintegration of a Russian flight above the Sinai in Egypt, and it is security experts' worst nightmare that such scenarios be successfully realized or repeated. Checks at Prague's International Airport will be random and conducted in a special hall using an explosives materials detector. Marika Janouškova, the airport spokesperson, spoke to Radio Prague.
Along with hand baggage taken aboard, controls will also now focus on baggage checked in and destined for the cargo hold. The earlier checks were introduced in 2015, and the latest step is a logical extension of security measures. It is response to EU legislation as well as global threats and increases in technology. The technology we are relying on should make it more difficult for explosives to be smuggled aboard.
The process will require the baggage to be opened under strict safety conditions, and the airport said most baggage relying on TSA-approved locks could be opened by personnel without causing any damage. Baggage inspected and found safe will then be wrapped in protective foil and tape marked with the airport logo and the word security checked. Marika Janouškova again.
There shouldn't be any problems with TSA locks. Some integrated locks, which are part of the luggage, don't use TSA systems. In such cases, there can be damage. But consider, we process some 20,000 pieces of luggage per day, twice that during the peak season, and several dozen pieces can be checked for traces of explosives per day. That, plus the fact that most travelers now use TSA standard lock, means that around 95% of baggage will not be damaged at all. The number of customers whose baggage is damaged should be fairly small.
Aside from being wrapped in protective foil and tape, checked luggage will also include a page inside outlining the procedure. If property was damaged, the form will include a list of steps to take for reimbursement from the airline upon arrival.
Jan Wellinger there reporting on stepped-up airport security. The restoration of Cook's, one of the most beautiful Baroque complexes in the Czech Republic, has won the European Grand Prix for Heritage Conservation. The prestigious award was presented by the Europa Nostra Association in Finland's Turku on Monday. The jury praised the interdisciplinary approach of the restoration works, saying it should serve as a strong example for conservation projects across Europe. Ruth Frankova reports.
The village of Cooks, located on the River Elbe, boasts a unique Baroque hospital building built by Count Franz Anton von Spork in the late 17th century. The decorations include a series of famous allegorical sculptures of virtues and vices by Matthias Braun. In the near vicinity of the hospital is Braun's Nativity, a natural park with a gallery of Baroque sculptures depicting biblical scenes. Between the years 2013 and 2015, Cooks underwent a wide-ranging renovation, including the creation of an educational centre, which cost a total of around 440 million crowns. Nadezhda Goričková, the head of the Czech National Heritage Institute, who picked up the award on Monday, said it was a historic success since it was the first time that the Grand Prix went to a Czech project.
It is a great success, both for the country and the Czech National Heritage Institute. The Czech Republic was the most successful country of this year's Europa Nostra competition, winning a total of three awards, two of the individual categories, and of course the top Grand Prix award for Cooks. I think that Cork's was successful thanks to the complex approach to the renovation. It includes all kinds of cultural and social activities, as well as the restoration of the nearby cultural landscape, the herbal garden, and of course all the Baroque buildings.
According to Nadezhda Goričková, opening up to the public is crucial for the success of newly renovated monuments. She also says Cooks will definitely profit from receiving the award, becoming even more popular with visitors and getting even more publicity.
There is also the financial reward of 10,000 euros, which is going to be invested in further renovation works. Although Cooks underwent a thorough renovation, there are still many things to do in the vicinity of the hospital, including renovation of the cemetery and the chapel. So the money will definitely be well spent.
The winners of Europa Nostra were chosen from among more than 200 projects. The top award, the Grand Prix, went to the 7 best European heritage conservation projects shortlisted from a group of 29 nominations, all of which received the Europa Nostra Heritage Awards earlier this year. Along with Cooks, the Europa Nostra Association also awarded the National Heritage Institute's programme promoting cultural heritage. The Baroque complex of Cooks, which is included on the list of national cultural monuments, belongs among the country's most popular state-owned tourist destinations. A record 140,000 people visited the monument in 2016, the first year after the renovation.
Ruud Francova there reporting on that prestigious prize. And we stay with Ruud for the next feature, in which we look at Czech psychiatry as a Cinderella sector.
Psychiatric care in Central and Eastern Europe, including the Czech Republic, is ineffective and heavily underfinanced, suggests an international study which has just been published in the prestigious US journal The Lancet Psychiatry. In most of the post-communist countries, mental health care still relies on large psychiatric hospitals, and there is a huge stigma connected to mental health problems. I spoke to Dr. Petr Winkler from the National Institute of Mental Health, who headed the international team of experts, and I first asked him to outline the main focus of the study.
We focused on 24 countries, which used to be east of the Iron Curtain during communism in Europe, and we covered the period since the revolutions and profound socio-economical political changes which took place in 1989 to 1991 up to now. And our main findings are that the systems of mental health care for people with severe mental illnesses in the region are outdated and ineffective. They are heavily underfinanced. They still rely on large psychiatric institutions, large psychiatric hospitals with many beds. Sometimes there are even 17 beds in one room with no space for intimacy whatsoever. There are people hospitalized for inadequately long, sometimes even for more than 20 years. And there is a huge stigma covering mental health problems in the region as well.
Where does this stigma come from? Would you say that this is the heritage of the communist period?
Well, we see stigma around mental illness all over the world, but it seems that in this region is particularly high, and I would agree with you that it's kind of a heritage from communism and lack of cultivated and intelligent debate about mental health, which actually hasn't changed much since the revolutions in 1989-1991.
Were the results of this study surprising to you in any way, or did it basically confirm what you have already expected?
Well, they were surprising in many ways, and in many ways they also confirmed what we know from here, from the Czech Republic, although it focused on all the countries in the region. Surprising were in a sense that, for example, it seems that the most developed community care is in the countries which had their psychiatric systems destroyed by war, such as Kosovo and Bosnia and Herzegovina, and where United Nations took over the governance of the countries in the aftermath of the war and basically introduced the reforms more effectively than in other countries. Surprisingly enough to us, there are examples of high-quality community care all over the region in each of the country, regardless of their income status. The problem with these is usually that they are available only to few inhabitants of that particular country.
And speaking about the Czech Republic in particular, how would you describe psychiatric care in our country? How does it work in comparison to the rest of Europe?
Well, I would like to mention two points. First, we have very good psychiatrists, people who work in psychiatry, and enthusiastic staff who really care about the patients. That's one side of the problem. But the second side, which is all that background which surrounds these people and people with mental health problems, which is the structure of the care, financing, the legislative background, this is not in very good condition. And the system, as it is heavily underfinanced. The reforms and the efforts to reform the system stayed in the realm of aspiration or rhetorics for most of the last 25 years, although nowadays there are efforts to reform this system, and we will see whether these efforts will be successful or not.
So what are some of the positive trends that you have noticed that took place in recent times?
Well, definitely the effort to reform mental health care, which is supported by the funding from the European Union, is a very good sign that things might be changing nowadays. And there has been lots of initiatives to bring this problem to the attention of public and politicians, and these are all very good signs, but we will see whether this will also translate to real-world changes.
Would you say that psychiatric patients in Central and Eastern Europe and in the Czech Republic in particular have some specific problems that are perhaps different from the rest of Europe, that are perhaps linked to the history of this country, to the political development and so on?
Well, I think that the problems are specific in the sense that the structure of services which is currently existing in the country doesn't reply to their needs. And also there is a huge stigma surrounding mental illness. So people who might have severe mental health problems will be hesitant to seek the treatment because they are afraid that they might be hospitalized for excessively long in outdated psychiatric hospitals, and also they might face severe stigma and discrimination from their surroundings, from external society.
As far as I know, the Czech Republic is one of the leading countries in terms of excessive use of alcohol and drug abuse.
Yeah, that's perfectly right. I don't know about other drugs, but definitely we are one of the leading nations in the consumption of alcohol per capita, and there is also quite excessive consumption of cannabis. On the other hand, I don't think that we are doing any bad in terms of hard drugs like cocaine, heroin, and so on. I think that with respect to these kind of drugs, we are doing pretty well.
What measures or steps should be taken to reform psychiatric care in the Czech Republic?
Well, they have to be manifold. First, we should cultivate the debate about mental health and speak about mental health not just in terms of severe mental illnesses and in terms of some scandals when people with mental health problems commit some crime, but also to cultivate the debate about mental health as an integral part of our health, saying that there's no health without mental health, and educating also young people about their mental health, because after all, suicide is the leading cause of mortality among Czech youth. It's even higher than accidents. We should also increase financing of mental health. It's, I would say, scandalous that in terms of the impact of all diseases, the mental health account for 25%, but the allocation of budget from health to mental health is only around 4%. So we should increase the funding as well, but also, and in the same time, to prevent that these resources are used ineffectively, we should promote evidence-based mental health care development.
The study we have been talking about has recently been published in the Lancet Psychiatry magazine. How important is it for you to be published by such magazine? Is it important to raise awareness of this problem?
In terms of the problem itself, it's very important because it definitely attracts attention of people, and it's a high-level scientific publication which basically you cannot ignore. For me personally, obviously, it's one of the best achievements, and it's a dream of every scientist to be published by such a good journal.
Dr. Petr Winkler, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. If you've any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely happy to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.